Hello and welcome to Pop Vouchers, a pop culture podcast by The Straits Times. My name is Jen Lee, and I'm joined today by Margaret Thatcher.
Your Majesty, I am very pleased to be part of Pop Vouchers.
As you can tell by that little impression.
Just kidding, it's me, Sam Joyo.
Yes, we're talking about The Crown today and all the surrounding drama about this Netflix show.
Every season, even though it's only 10 episodes, but it covers like quite a wide swath of time.
Yeah, I think this season was about a decade. Yeah, this season 4. Yeah.
Right. So season 1 began with her, like, you know, ascending the throne after her father died.
Yeah.
And then now, this latest season, I know Jen's very excited.
Yes, we get to the part that everybody has been waiting for, Diana.
Princess Diana, the people's princess, as you used to call
her. Queen of Hearts.
Princess of Wales, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this season is quite sad, actually.
It's a very sad season because, of course, as we all know, Diana's marriage to Prince Charles was extremely toxic and had a very, very tragic end.
Mm.
Of course, the divorce, but Diana died very soon after that in a car accident. So basically, the royal family, which previously did not deign to have an opinion about the crown, like they just like sort of like, yeah, it's there, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They got really upset about this season and their portrayal in it because, well, it's very hard to do the Diana story without the British royal family coming in for some criticisms.
Yeah, touche, right? It's almost like it's not like it's too soon because, I mean, Diana died in 1997.
Yeah, it's almost just, 30 years, yeah.
It's never the right time to talk about it. It's always been a very sensitive subject.
So, of course, you know, in the wake of the crown, people were saying, wow, Prince Charles was such a beep to Princess Diana, you know, like he was such a bad person, blah blah blah. The British royal family was so cold to her, blah blah blah. So all of that, then like people got upset, right? So Prince Charles' friends, we say friends lah, because you know this kind of things, they always get like courtiers or like insiders. The sources are never named one. They just run to the press and say things, but you know it's them lah, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Because, is that how it works?
Yeah, because anytime, unless it's something very official, they always want to be able to cut themselves away from the story. They're just like, no, it's just rumors. We didn't say that. That kind of thing.
So
yeah.
Instead of releasing an official statement, they kind of like just let someone leak certain information.
So people, Prince Charles's friends, palace insiders, ran to the press, like Daily Mail, to complain. Say this show is so inaccurate, so unfair to Prince Charles and his wife, by the way, who is Camilla. He managed to marry her successfully after...
The Duchess of Cornwall.
And then the British Culture Secretary actually wrote to Netflix to ask them to fix like a health warning on the show to make sure their audiences know The Crown is fiction. It's a drama. And the latest news coming out is that Netflix rejected that request. They basically said, nope, we're not going to do that. We believe our audiences know that it's a fictionalized tale.
Oh, so they wanted a disclaimer, but Netflix basically shut it down.
Yeah, Netflix was like, nope, we're not doing that.
Interesting. Okay. Of course, The Crown has been up on Netflix for like, you know, a couple of weeks now. And for those of you who are huge fans, you probably would have finished binging it by now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we're going to go deeper into like, you know, what really hit raw nerve with this particular season of The Crown.
Mm-hmm.
And also, ask some deeper questions, like in the words of Margaret Thatcher, you know.
Yeah. Basically,
Jen Lee, I think we have enough respect for one another personally to ask ourselves some of the bigger questions.
Yes, this is actually not a bad impression, Joe. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Yes, but
I've been watching a lot of it as well, as you can tell.
So, as you can tell, Margaret Thatcher is in this season. She's the Prime Minister during this period of The Crown.
Yes.
Okay, so spoilers, right? Like, if you're going to listen to this, you will be spoiled about The Crown, even though there's not much to spoil. Like, it's all history. Like, people know kind of what happened, right? They don't, like, deviate from real events all that much. So, basically, The Crown in previous seasons, right, has been quite sympathetic to the royal family. Like, they have portrayed them in a fairly good light. Like, even, like, during... Because Princess Margaret, who's Princess Queen Elizabeth's sister, she couldn't marry the guy that she wanted to marry at first, right?
I know.
He was divorced and the Church of England doesn't recognise divorce, blah, blah, blah. At the time, it was all a big mess.
Yep.
And she wasn't allowed to marry him. But even in those circumstances, it it was like, you know, Queen Elizabeth was shown to be very torn and like, you know, she really tried her best and she just couldn't help her sister. Like, it's quite a sympathetic
right,
one.
She sends a divided duty, as Shakespeare would say, between her sisterhood.
Between the crown and family.
And duty to the crown, yes.
Yes. So, this kind of things. And like, they had Prince Charles, you know, having like a sort of lonely childhood, kind of sad childhood, right? Going to school, everything. So, it's like fairly nice. Mm-hmm. Like, it shows that, you know, they have very real problems as well.
Right.
So, it humanizes
them. Other than first
them.
World problems, you mean?
Other than first world problems, but it humanizes them, la,
true,
right?
True, true.
But then, season 4 dropped. And then the royal family immediately was like, no, this is bad. We're not happy. Because, yeah.
Allegedly, the royal family, like,
allegedly,
said,
like,
through their so-called sources, right?
Yeah. Just like a little tidbit, I heard royal correspondent, he's a royal reporter, Omid Scobie.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who was part of a duo who wrote a book about Harry and Meghan finding freedom.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So he has a like podcast. So he said on like the AirPod podcast that apparently Netflix did reach out to the British royal family to fact check their series, and the British royal family refused. So that's, well, take that how you will, right?
Okay.
So now we're going to go into our thoughts, over this whole saga and Netflix rejecting this and Oliver Dowden writing to them, blah, blah, blah.
What do you think, Jen? Do you think there's a need for a disclaimer to say that it's a work of fiction?
Oh my God, if you can see me, I'm rolling my eyes so hard right now because no, they are actors. Like, they are actors acting on a set. We know it's a drama, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, don't treat audiences as dum-dums, la. Come on, right? Like, I think it is a very well-researched show, and I do think that it is based and extrapolated on real events, but I don't see it as, like, every single detail I take it as gospel. Cannot be, why, right? Like, there's no way that other people who are not involved in the Will's marriage, right, know in detail everything what went down, right? There's no way. They are fictionalizing based on real events.
Yeah, like bedroom conversations.
Yeah.
And, like, you know,
gossipy things,
yeah, fireside chats.
Yeah, fireside chats. You know, of course it's fictionalized. I know that. And apparently, Wikipedia entries for like the British royal family like search, right, in views every time the crown drops.
Oh, really?
So clearly people are like Googling at the same time that they are watching, right?
I'm definitely contributing to those hits.
Me too, me
I'm
too.
Like, after the episode, I'll like pause
just, like,
before.
Did that happen?
Yeah, really? Yeah. Is it so? Okay, let me Google then. Yeah.
Yeah, so clearly we know on some level that it's not entirely, you know, we cannot take it as fact, right?
True,
yeah.
True.
What do you think, Samjo?
I mean, yeah, I mean, as audiences, we definitely go in with our eyes open. You know, we know it's not a documentary per se. If I wanted a documentary, there are documentaries on the royal family out there. Like, you know, the story of Diana is one of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I personally feel like I'm a bit torn here because I enjoy The Crown as a viewer, but I also feel like The Crown blurs the line a lot between fact and fiction. And it's precisely because the basis of their plot for each episode is more often than not, you know, based on the true story or historical events, right? And then they go to the extent of like using real photographs or even like real footage in the show, right? You know, or maybe putting real photographs at the end or using epilogue text to convey, okay, to wrap up the episode and say, okay, this is what happened after. And, you know, and that's part of why the show has been so well received also, because it's very much rooted in historical events and it's very much tied to what people perceive as truth. So I can understand, you know, what these so-called like, palace sources are saying, that like, to a viewer whose first contact with this segment of history is The Crown's portrayal on Netflix, it can be quite misleading, lah. Like, you know, like, even for me, like, okay, fine, I take the effort to go and Google. You do the same, Jen, but I'm not sure if all other viewers do that. You know, sometimes people just go like, oh, hey, you know, this is what happened. And let's face it, like, when it comes to fictional portrayals, like, they are the ones which come up because, I mean, screenwriters have the time to, like, you know, craft very, like, catchy lines and all that. And those are the scenes that will be quoted for years to come. Whether or not the actual historical figures said them, that becomes moot after a while, you know. It just gets, that's how quotes get, like, that's how people get misquoted and, like, you know, quotes get wrongly attributed to people over time. And, you know, one of the historians, like Hugo Vickers, right, he's a historian who has done biographies on the royal family before. He has spoken out about all these inaccuracies on the show, right, and pointed out how some parts are either, like, you know, way too exaggerated, sometimes they didn't even happen at all, right, For example, I think he took a lot of issue with season 2's portrayal of Prince Philip, right, the Queen's husband, mm-hmm. and his role in his sister's death.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, the one where she was on the plane and then it crashed and then she was pregnant.
Something, yeah. Apparently, remember.
Yeah, apparently, like, she actually gave birth to a boy on the plane, but then they all died. They perished in the plane crash. Mm-hmm. So the series actually, like, attributed the death to Prince Philip and kind of, like, said, oh, she was on the plane because of him.
Something like that, right? Yeah.
So Hugo Vickers was like, the historian was like, oh, this is so unnecessarily cruel, like, you know, for you to kind of like blame Prince Philip for his own sister's death for the sake of what?
Like, fabricate a story like that. But his sister did die in a plane crash, like, basically, true. In real life. Yeah, you know, things like this.
It's precisely because of that, because you can't argue that his sister didn't die in a plane crash. Mm-hmm. But then, in terms of, like, finding a justification of, like, or, like, you know, kind of like linking all the dots
together.
They kind of like
take liberties.
Take a lot of liberties, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I would say it's actually very dangerous liberties. Like, I mean, it could be something as minor as, like, okay, in this season, right? You know, when Diana met Charles for the first time,
she was dressed as a nymph, like she was role playing something.
She was a tree.
Yeah, of course she didn't. Of course that didn't happen, lah. Right, but she did meet him when she was very young, lah. You know, things like this.
True.
So I get what you're saying, but to me, it's like. But then it's very obviously fictionalized. Like, to me, it's like, just maybe, I don't know. To me, it's like, I don't take everything as like, Bible law. Like,
Of course. But I do think there's a fine line between taking creative liberties and then flat out fabricating storylines, or even, like, retconning, you know, the reason for, say, a person's death, or the reason why, you know, this particular prince or princess did this or that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just... It annoys the hell out of the history buff in me. Mm. And at some point, you wonder if it's truly creative or is it just plain lazy screenwriting?
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have to differ on this point, I guess. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're enjoying this episode of Pop Vouchers, do find us on the Straits Times podcast channel, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Some of our episodes are on YouTube as well, so check those out. Like and rate us. Now, back to our show. Let's continue with The Crown.
Yes.
Definitely very posh.
And the frowns on The Crown.
Yes.
What do you think about season 4 then, you know, especially because we're talking about inaccuracies and, you know, there are allegations that it's rather exploitative. What do you think?
Basically, okay, so a lot of the drama, a lot of the unhappiness, I think, this season stems mostly from the Prince Charles and Diana marriage storyline. Mm-hmm. Because I think the two big storylines that dominated this season was Margaret Thatcher's premiership and Prince Charles and Diana's tragic marriage. So the Thatcher stuff, I don't feel like people are so upset about it.
Because, you know, she was a controversial figure. Your Majesty.
Yes.
I actually feel very bad every time I watch. I mean, Gillian Anderson is amazing, but every time I watch her speak like that,
I
feel
tired.
I feel
exhausting.
I feel breathless. Yeah. I feel like handing her a respirator or something.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, and of course, this season, even with the Margaret Thatcher stuff, it's shown that the British royal family can be quite snobby, lah, right? To people, to outsiders, you know. It's not exactly the most flattering portrayal, but. We're going back to, like, the core of why people are unhappy, why Prince Charles in particular seems unhappy, is the Charles and Diana marriage. And the thing is, like, nobody will ever know accurately how that marriage went down, right? We know broad strokes. We know it was unhappy. We know Prince Charles did not get to marry Camilla, even though he dated her before and wanted to marry her. He was not allowed to. He found another woman to marry. It was Diana. He never loved her. We know the broad strokes, right? Like, we know these things. But actually, the bits that go down, the conversations they had, the arguments they had, we will never fully know what happened. Nobody can ever really portray a marriage accurately because they were not in the marriage, right? Like, it's very hard.
True.
So, and of course, they, you know, had things edited out. They played with the timeline a little bit. They moved things around here and there.
Yeah.
Large stretches of time jumps, right? Like, correct. You don't see her give birth to Harry and then suddenly Harry is like 5 years old. You know that kind? It's very common in The Crown to sort of like cover large periods of time in a very short amount of like episodes. So like, but I feel that the pivotal events of the Wales marriage in the series is actually straight out of things that Diana herself said. Like, she recorded all these secret interview tapes to her biographer, Andrew Morton. And in it, she, like, talked about things like how Prince Charles made a bracelet for him and Camilla, was in the series,
yeah,
right?
F
things
and like, G, right?
Yeah, Fred and Gladys or something like that, right?
Their nicknames for each other. Ugh.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not, you know...
Scandal.
This scandal, you know. And then the stuff about, like, James Hewitt, who is the guy that Diana had an affair with. Mm. You know, those things are real. Like, those things came out of Diana's mouth. She said, yes, she basically admitted, right, to having affairs before. She admitted to, like, she basically talked about the Camilla aspect of the marriage. She talked about how Camilla asked her out for lunch. That lunch scene in The Crown.
Oh, that was
so,
actually true?
Apparently, yeah. Mm. She said, like, Camilla asked her out for lunch. Camilla, like, left a note on her bed. Like, that kind of thing, you know. It's not entirely, I wouldn't say. So here's the thing. When you listen to what Diana says, you also have to take it with a grain of salt. Because she was angry in the wake of the breakup of her marriage, right?
Sure.
She was upset. She clearly wanted to take revenge on, like, Charles and Camilla. Like, you could tell, like, she was not coming off this in the most graceful of manner, I think.
Right.
And, yeah, so obviously whether that what she said is accurate is another thing, but you can't really blame The Crown from extrapolating based off her words, right? These are her words.
Right.
Diana said these things. My issue is, I think it doesn't show enough of how difficult Diana could be as a woman, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, also.
Because actually... I mean, this is very bad because it's very, very sad. She had severe mental health issues. She had an eating disorder, which is depicted in The Crown. You know,
bulimia, right?
Bulimia. They have warnings for episodes where her bulimia is depicted. She, like, one time tried to commit suicide by throwing herself down the stairs.
Oh, wow.
While she was pregnant. Like, this is a woman that would have been difficult to deal with in any circumstances. Mental health issues are notoriously difficult on people around, like, people suffering from these issues, right? So I think
not to mention the person who has to live with it themselves.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. So, like, I don't think it showed enough of just how difficult she could be at times as well. But it also did show that certain things that I think it was true in spirit, right? That Charles never loved her. Charles always loved Diana. Charles always loved Camilla.
Allegedly,
Allegedly, but come on, okay? It just... She has been with Camilla for so long. Like,
yeah, but you don't know what happened. Again, we wouldn't know.
We wouldn't know
for sure.
But it seems
unless
true.
Prince Charles, if you're listening, please come on our podcast and clear all of this up. We would love to have you.
But you get what I mean, right?
Your Royal Highness.
Yes, Your Royal Highness. You get what I mean, right? Like, to me, it just feels true in spirit. Like, she was very young when she met him. She was only 19 when she got engaged. Like,
my
come
goodness.
On.
Yeah, 19. And he was how old?
He was 32 or 33. Like,
wow, that's my age.
Exactly. Like, you know, so, like, clearly she was very young. She was naive. She was immature. She had a dream. She had a fairy. She thought she would be going to a fairy tale marriage. She did not. Her husband was in love with someone else. And also the part about Diana being much more well-loved by the public and the press and much more popular than him. That part
true,
is well-documented.
It's true, right.
Yeah,
right.
So to me, it's true in spirit, you know.
Okay.
X for exploitative. Look, man, there are way more exploitative stuff about the royal family out there. There's, like, TV movies about, like, Harry and Meghan and Kate and William. Like, come on. And they never got upset until this.
Yeah, but none... I mean, how many of those films have actually reached that level of popularity and prestige as The Crown has, Because now a lot of people are just... Honestly, they're getting their 101 on British royal family history from The Crown. So if I were to answer the question, like, you know, is it exploitative? I think definitely, you know, a royal family or not, when you're a content creator, right, and you're profiting from the telling of someone else's personal story, especially without the explicit consent, I mean, how is that not exploitative? But I mean, that said, you know, when it comes to public figures, especially, you know, the monarchy, right, you know, these are figures whose very fame and privilege are predicated on something as flimsy as birthright to the throne, you know, their lives are never truly their own. So, yeah, I don't personally believe in, like, censoring anyone because, I mean, what's the point of art otherwise, right? But I do think storytellers have the responsibility to be, you know, very sensitive to their subjects, pun intended. No, because, yeah, of course, no one owes the royal family any favours, right? And if it's anything, it's the other way around, right? You know?
Yes.
But put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if, I don't think you appreciate the crown very much if you, say, were Prince Charles watching his portrayal. Like, you know, they're portraying him as a wimp half of the time. Like, you know, very whipped and, like, always, like, with his hunchback and, like, looking down.
Yeah.
Looking very morose.
Like a coward, yeah.
And then imagine if you are Prince Harry or William, and then you have to watch this season about your dead mother. Come on. But what do you think of the British royal family's reaction to this current season, Jen? I know you have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, it's very petty, lor, I feel. Like, it's so hypocritical. When they were nice to you, then you have no problems with it, lah. Then the moment they start, like, you know, getting a bit critical, like, actually getting fairly critical, then you're like, no. And it's the Streisand effect, right? Sam Jo, you know the Streisand effect, right?
No, what is it? Barbara Streisand?
Yeah, Barbara Streisand. Like
Barbara Streisand.
She basically, like, it just means, like, when you try and hide or censor something and it has the unintended consequence of further publicizing the information. So, like, apparently, Barbara Streisand tried to shut down, like, photographs of her residence in California.
Mm-hmm.
And then, for some reason, like, she tried to get the photos down.
Okay.
And then, for some reason, that brought more attention to the photos, so more people knew about it. Like,
oh,
it had the opposite effect.
Okay,
so,
okay.
It's like the British royal family coming out so strongly to the point where the UK culture secretary, like a person in government, is spending their time on this drama, right? On a Netflix show. Mm. It's like, you're just going to bring more attention to it, right? You're just going to... People are just going to be like, I wonder what's in the crown that makes Prince Charles so unhappy.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Somebody who has no interest before about the crown, true, suddenly just going like,
maybe I should watch
it. I should check it out. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So, as I said, like, you know, people Google things as they are watching. So, like, I think it does bring more attention to what, like, the actual historical events themselves. Like, season 3, there was an episode called Aberfan about the mining incident.
Oh, yeah. That was tragic.
It was tragic. Was tragic. I didn't know about that mining incident. You know, mm-hmm. like, that's not part of our culture consciousness as Asians, right? So, like, I was like, wow, this is surprising to me. I didn't know this happened. So, I think it brings more attention both to the show and to the actual historical events that happened. So, like, it just... Sometimes I wonder, is it better for you to just watch The Crown, or is it better for you to find out actually what happened and which has the worst effect? Which one makes Prince Charles look worse? I would argue that real history probably makes Prince Charles look worse.
Right, because real history doesn't pad it up with, like, how good they look or, like, how great the acting is.
In season 3, he was actually quite sympathetic. So, like, you know, like, you get a bit more of his inner life.
True.
Whereas true actual historical events, all you see is, like... You know, like
the
reports,
that they have
the ugly
done.
Breakup, yeah.
Right.
Also, like, as I mentioned, like, Omid Scobie said they apparently didn't want to fact check the show. And, like, can you have it both ways? Can you refuse to fact check and then say, like, you know, this show was so unfair to us? Like, then fact check it. Then you can fact check it. What?
Okay, but, well, firstly, I'm not really sure what his sources are, but assuming that what he says is true, I mean, again, putting yourself
in the shoes of the BRF.
Exactly, right? You know, fact-checking the show means that you actually kind of, like, have to endorse it.
Yeah.
And then after you fact-check it and you go back with, like, your, you know, okay, your changes, it doesn't mean that the people have to ask your permission before running the show. They can still take liberties with it. So the moment you say that, okay, you fact-check the show and then the show comes out and you're still not happy about it, you know, I feel like it's even worse. So I can understand why they probably don't want to have
they
anything to do with it at all.
They feel it's a bit beneath them also.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, you are the royal family after all, right? Like, you don't have to...
Their whole shtick is don't complain, don't show emotion, don't what, right? Yeah.
Don't get involved, essentially, right? Yeah. Anyway, but you talk about being hypocritical. I think... This is a very unpopular opinion, but I think we as the viewers, and I include myself, I think we are the hypocritical ones sometimes, you know?
Definitely.
Because on the one hand, we say, oh, you know, we watch The Crown and then as viewers, it's very easy to just judge the royal family for, like, oh, being terrible, oh, they're so rigid, oh my goodness.
So privileged for nothing, you know?
So privileged and, like, oh my goodness, you're, like, not allowing Princess Margaret to, like, you know, marry the man of her dreams and you've just ruined her whole life. But on the other hand, we're so obsessed with, like, the up opulence of it all, the aristocracy.
Tiaras.
Yeah, we're like, oh, look at that dress. Oh, I love it. Like, oh my goodness, look at
the crown's fashion is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Look at the carriage, the royal carriage. Look
the
at
the house, the beautiful houses.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, listen to the posh accent. Like, you know, they say the princess instead of princess. Like, you know, little things like that. So I dare say that as viewers, especially when we discuss the show, we kind of like want to be them a little bit. Does that make sense? I feel like this drama kind of like gives us a glimpse into their lives. And that's part of the reason why it's so popular. It's because...
into this life that we will never have, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. It's something we will never, ever, ever have because you're either born a royal or you're not, right?
Or you marry into it. But even then, you tend to be pretty good background. Yeah.
And then you have maybe a not so happy ending. But yeah, it's stuff that we can never have. And it kind of like it allows us to live vicariously through this lens that is the crown.
To me, it's a soap opera though. Like, it's not so much that I want to be them. I think it would be extremely stressful and not fun to be a royal. I think it would just be better to be like Jeff Bezos' daughter, like just a really rich person that you don't have to, that you don't also have to do events.
I wouldn't mind trying it, lah. The same way we won
the tiara, lah. You know, I would do it for the tiaras. Maybe I don't know.
I think maybe for like a week.
Yeah, one week only.
But okay, maybe one month sabbatical.
Maybe I steal the tiara that I saw. Like that's it.
But as Lord says, I will never be royals. It don't run in our blood
because it really doesn't run in our blood, guys.
Ain't for us.
Okay.
Crave a different kind.
Okay, Sam Jo parting thoughts.
I just feel like the acting in The Crown is fabulous, as always. Can we just talk about that? Like,
it is. It's really, really good, guys, the acting.
I know we chose to go down a little bit of historical route at the start of this episode, but we just need to go back to our pop culture roots and just gush about. Can we talk about Gillian Anderson?
To me, I actually think the standout this season is Josh O'Connor and Emma Corrin. I know you don't really love the Emma
Prince Charles
portrayal.
And Princess Diana. Yeah. Okay.
But Josh O'Connor is so good. He is so annoying. You know? But at the same time, you feel like, oh man, this is a person born into some very unfortunate circumstances at some not privileged, but like unfortunate in the sense that he can't do a lot of things.
I think his character development is like quite amazing because you don't necessarily agree with his choices, right? And you don't necessarily
agree
how
he got to
Diana.
That point.
Exactly. And you feel very bad for him. And especially, I think some of my favorite episodes, one of my favorite episodes in this season is episode 4, Favorites.
Love it.
Yeah. Where it's about, like, you know,
the queen visits her children to figure out which one is her favorite.
Exactly.
Basically,
And we all know that, unfortunately, it's
Andrew.
Prince Andrew, Jen's favorite.
He was damn gross in the series. Like, they're perfect casting. They casted Andrew and Edward so perfectly. Like, they are so annoying. But my favorite is Anne, of course.
Yeah, Anne is amazing. Anne is amazing. But in this episode, you can see why Charles got to that point. Like, you know, he's constantly seeking approval from Queen Elizabeth. And any of the day, like, as Diana said, like, you know, she just wants... And when Diana proceeds to hug the queen, I don't think actually happened.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
But when she hugs and then Olivia Colman's like, what to do? I don't know what to do. Yeah. Stop hugging me. But Diana tells her, you know, this is all we want. Like, you know, we just want
some love.
We just want some TLC
so
from
the
you.
Music,
is that so difficult?
The music in this season is great.
Oh, because
Stevie
it's
Nicks?
Like 80s and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
And then the edge of 17 is so poignant when you know what happens to Diana afterwards, and you see her as a teenager on the cusp of this thing that she thinks is what she wants, and it's not.
It was only the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sad. I also have a very soft spot, like I said, for Margaret. Can I just say, I was actually quite like disappointed in the first few episodes, especially the first half of this
It didn't focus
season.
On Margaret at all.
Yeah, Margaret just came and went like a little like
Margaret,
cameo.
Philip, and all of them got sidelined.
Yeah, and like every time you see Margaret, she's just like making some like offbeat comment at a dinner table with the Queen Mother. And then that's it. And then, like, you don't really see her again. So I'm glad that in the episode Hereditary Principle, you know, she got her limelight. Yeah. And it fleshed out, like, her struggles with, like, mental health. And it also touched on this very interesting
which I didn't
aspect
know
of the
about.
Royal family history. Yeah, apparently, like, you know, they had the royal family had two first cousins who were locked away in a mental health facility For life. Yeah. And it's, you all should go watch this. We don't want to like spoil it for you in case you haven't seen it. But that's actually based on like
true events. Yeah. That was the one they had an epilogue afterwards, right?
Yeah.
They showed photos of the girls.
Narissa and Catherine, the Queen and Margaret's first cousins. But of course, in this episode, Margaret had a lot to do with like discovering it and like actually going to try and like hunt them down.
Which I don't think actually happened.
It didn't happen. Yeah. Hugo Vickers has like dismiss that notion altogether. But at the end of the day, all I'm trying to say is that it's good entertainment, man, guys.
See it as entertainment and a gateway for you to find out more about history. And don't really see it as any more than that, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
I think that's enough for this week, and that's your dose of pop culture.
And Your Majesty.
Yes.
Ding, ding. You must ring the bell so I can leave the room.
Okay, ding, 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 ding. Yeah, then ding, you leave the room. Quite then.
I curtsy first.
Alright, and
by the way, I'm making that voice, but I'm not making fun of Margaret Thatcher. That's exactly how
Gillian Anderson plays her. Yeah. Yes.
By the way, fun fact, do you know that Gillian Anderson is actually with Peter Morgan?
Yeah, she's like married to him or something, right? Or is it his like girlfriend?
Partner, I think. I don't know if they're married, but I am just so impressed with how, in fact, I mean, again, unpopular opinion, but I think she's done a much better job with Margaret Thatcher than Meryl Streep did.
Yeah.
The Iron Lady.
Yeah.
For which she won an Oscar. Mm. And to this day I don't understand.
Okay.
Okay. Well, tell us if you agree. I mean, if you don't agree, you can always write to Jen.
Yes, at jenlee@sph.com.sg. You can also write to Sam Jo at
yosamjo@sph.com.sg, or both of us, like, actually, podcast@sph.com.sg.
You can also find me on Jen Lee Rise, my Instagram. Slide me a DM.
And tell us what you think and tell us what you want to hear next, okay? Till next time.
He's Sam Jo.
I'm Margaret Thatcher. I'm kidding. She's Jen.
And we are Pop Vouchers. Thank you for listening.
Your Majesty.